If you go into the rotunda of the United States Capitol building, you will see there a painting by John Trumbull, a painting we've all seen. There are men gathered around a table upon which there is nothing more than a piece of paper. And there gathered around that table are 42 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. And if you look very carefully, you will notice that John Adams is standing on Thomas Jefferson's foot. Now, just down the mall from the Capitol building, in the National Gallery of Art, is another painting of another table. This one's by Salvador Dali. And again, there are men gathered around a table upon which is nothing more than a half-filled glass and a broken loaf of bread. All 12 of the disciples are there, even Judas, together with their master and friend. And if you look not so carefully, for the detail is obvious. Above Jesus is suspended a surreal depiction of the chest and the outstretched arms of Christ on the cross. Now, it's not well known that the signing of the Declaration of Independence did not happen on the 4th of July. I didn't know that. It happened on August 2nd, 1776. It took about a month from the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th until August 2nd. It took about a month for various assemblies and conventions to sign off on it and for the document to be engrossed, which means written in a large enough hand for public presentation. Now, the date of the Last Supper is not known at all, except that it occurred the night before Jesus was crucified. The men signing the Declaration of Independence were building something new, a new nation, conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. They were building a new understanding of how government could work, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. They were called to freedom. Freedom from the tyrannical rule of Great Britain, freedom from taxation without representation, freedom from government from a far-off place. "We hold these truths to be self-evident," they wrote, "that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights, and that among those rights are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness." Well, the men who gathered around the table at the Last Supper were building something new also, a new recognition of the fullness of God in and under everything and everywhere, into things as simple as bread and wine. Those disciples and all of us who come after them are also called to freedom, called to freedom from a past that may bind us down, from mistakes that weigh us down, from anything that holds us back from living a full life. Freedom even from the power of death, Jesus dared to say. But Jesus said it's not just freedom from. We are called to a freedom to something, something more. For freedom, Christ tells us, freedom is not just freedom to make our own choices, to live our own life, to do whatever we want to do. It's a freedom to use our welfare for the welfare of others, to seek the good of others as well as of ourselves. A freedom that, the letter of Galatians says, echoing the words of Jesus, a freedom that frees us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, I would suggest to you that as followers of Christ, our Christian freedom informs our American freedom. And we celebrate Independence Day as a day where we are grateful for the life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness that our government grants us. But we also celebrate Independence Day as a call to freedom for the benefit of others as well as for ourselves. And so we look at our nation with gratitude for the opportunities, for the possibilities, for the life that we have here. but we also look at our nation and refuse to be satisfied. We refuse to be satisfied with 1 in 6 American children living in poverty, with 1 in 6 Americans who do not have health care. I don't know if Michael Moore has, I haven't seen the movie, I don't know if he has a solution, I don't know, but we shouldn't be satisfied if 1 in 6 of us don't have health care. I mean, look down the pew, that means one of you in each pew doesn't have health care. 1 out of every 6 children is living below the poverty line. Now, how to fix the state of affairs is a matter of politics, and people of faith will differ on that and discuss and debate it, and that's one of the great things about our country, is that we do just that. But that the situation should be fixed is a matter of faith. To say that, at the very least, it's not acceptable to live with 1 in 6 children going to bed hungry every night. So we're going to gather around this table today. And this table doesn't look anything like the table in Salvador Dali's painting. It doesn't look anything like the table from that first Lord's Supper 2,000 years ago. But it is undoubtedly the Lord's table. It is the table to which we can come and bring our burdens, to bring our griefs, to bring our sins, to bring our shortcomings, to bring our hopes, and to seek from God that which God can give, forgiveness and grace and peace. It's a table of freedom that can set us free to live the life to which God calls us. And that means it's also a table that calls us to live the life Christ lived, to let Christ live in us, to really, truly, in ways great and ways small, to love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's the kind of freedom that's really worth having. Pray with me. Gracious God, set each one of us free from whatever it is that holds us back, from living the life you offer us. And set us free. Set us free as individuals, as a church. Set us free as a nation to that freedom which seeks the common good, the welfare of all. For Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.